Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Who has never asked the question, Lord, increase my faith? The disciples asked Jesus that very question. And Jesus responds in verse 5, if you had a faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. But Jesus then continues to speak about a servant doing his duty because that is his job. The servant does that job with no expectation of praise or glory. Jesus tells the disciples they must do their duty, but do not expect rewards. Therefore, what I walked away from that was our duty is to live each day by faith in Jesus. We perform that duty without expectation of praise or glory from God. That is what is expected of us, those of us who have been saved through faith in Jesus Christ. Christians must not just talk the talk. Christians must walk the walk. That's what Jesus was saying when he speaks about duty. We have a duty to be faithful to him in our daily life. We are not just to speak about Christ, but live with him in each of our unique neighborhoods, whether that be our faith at work, in school, or home. Our faith is active service to others, and that servant's task is never done. A servant comes in from a full day's work in the field, not to eat right away, but to serve the master's meal. The servant is mistaken if he thinks that a compliment is coming for his work. He is doing what is expected of him. Maybe the disciples should have asked for energy to apply faith in ongoing, never-ending service to others. We're talking about real-world faith here. Faith that energizes each of us to serve in the world in which we live, wherever that is. And when things are going well, we serve. And when things seem to be falling apart, we serve. The faith I am speaking about is simply to trust in Jesus. Trust who he is and what he has already done for you. The confidence of faith is not how great it is, but who it is in. Jesus Christ. God owes us nothing for living good Christian lives. When we assume that we can deal with God based on what God owes us, we've really made a mistake. We have rejected the grace as the basis of our relationship to God and based that relationship on our own worth and merit. God's grace is a gift, free gift. When you live in God's grace, you already have salvation. Living one's duty to God does not get us praise or commendation from God because we are doing what is expected of each of us. Our duty is to live for Christ and to live in the world for others. And in this season of Pentecost, we are always talking about our living in Jesus Christ. In our text, Jesus speaks about a servant dutifully doing his job without looking for reward or praise. As citizens of his kingdom, we are to worship God and to serve others, to fulfill the two great commandments he gave in the New Testament. You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your strength and with all your soul and with all your love. Love your neighbor as yourself. God acts, we respond. This response is what that poem by Edgar Guest was all about. Edgar Guest wrote a poem that it was hard for me to imagine that I would use my college as much as I did when I took poetry. I didn't read that. I didn't read that poem to you. Let's go back to that poem. I forgot to read it to you. Edgar Guest was a poet I came across when I was in college looking for an easy English class, and I took poetry. That was a mistake. Edgar Guest was a British-born American poet who was also known as the People's Poet. He wrote this poem. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely tell me the way. The eyes, a better pupil and more willing than the ear, find counseling is confusing, but examples always clear. And the best of all the preachers are the ones who live their creeds, for to see good put into action is what everybody needs. I soon can learn to do it if you'll let me see it done. I can watch your hands in actions, but your tongue too fast may run. And the lecture you deliver may be wise and true, but I'd rather get lessons by observing what you do. For I might misunderstand you and the high advice you give, but there is no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. When I see a deed of kindness, I am eager to be kind. When a weaker brother stumbles and a strong man stays behind, just to see if he can help him, when the wish grows strong in me to become a big and thoughtful, as I know that friend to be. And all the travelers can witness that the best of guides today is not the one who tells them, but the one who shows the way. One good person teaches many. People believe what they behold. One deed of kindness noticed, worth 40 that are told. Who stands with men of honor, learns to hold his honor dear. For right living speaks a language which is everyone, to everyone is clear. Though the able speaker charms with his eloquence, I say, I'd rather see a sermon than to hear one any day. Of course, I'm not saying you can get up and walk out. Yeah. This response is possible. We're only able to do that when we look to Christ as our Savior. A strong and vibrant faith life is powered by the Holy Spirit. This response is what Martin Luther called sanctification. Big word. The process God makes us holy, growing spiritually. Life in Christ is not static. It is alive, changing, growing, maturing, transforming each of us in our walk. Salvation is assured by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. But how we live with that assurance of salvation is the transforming part of our Christian journey on this earth. Living and growing in God's love is a joint effort between you and God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Remember the meaning to the third article of the creed you learned in confirmation. It says it is the Holy Spirit who calls, gather, enlightens the saints or believers of God. Paul tells us in Romans that the Holy Spirit collaborates with our spirit so that we might cry, Abba, Father. And this process happens to kingdom people, people saved by God through faith in Jesus. We now live out our response to that gift of salvation. In Acts 4:13, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, average people, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Or as Paul says in Ephesians 4:15, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Kingdom people set an example. Not for reward, not for praise, but because it is our duty. It is our response to God's redeeming grace in our lives. And as we live in response to God's grace, we have a peace that lets us act, lets us live out our faith. Salvation is assured, but living is an ongoing process. A young man applied for a job as a farmhand. When the farmer asked for his qualifications, he said, "I can sleep when the wind blows." This puzzled the farmer. But he liked the young man and hired him. A few days later, the farmer and his wife were awakened in the night by a violent storm. They quickly began to check things out to see if all was secure. They found that the shutters of the farmhouse had been securely fastened. A good supply of logs had been set next to the fireplace. The young man slept soundly. The farmer and his wife then inspected their property. They found that the farm tools had been placed in the storage shed, safe from the elements. The tractor had been moved into the garage. The barn was properly locked. Even the animals were calm. All was well. The farmer then understood the meaning of the young man's word. "I can sleep when the wind blows." Because the farmhand did his work loyally and faithfully when the skies were clear, he was prepared for the storm when it broke. So when the wind blew, he was not afraid. He could sleep in peace. The story about the young farmhand illustrates how often overlooked principle about being prepared for various events that occur in our life. There was nothing dramatic or sensational in the young farmhand's preparations. Each day he faithfully did what was needed. Consequently, peace was his, even in a storm. The short poem expresses this principle as it pertains to your life. It isn't the things you do, it's the things you've left undone, which gives you a bit of heartache at the setting of the sun. What have you left undone? That was the question I ended up at. What have I left undone? For example, are you saying things that foster positive relationships with relatives and friends and coworkers? Are you doing what is necessary to cultivate solid relationships with others that can withstand storms and other events that arise? We can sleep when the wind blows because our salvation is assured and we are working at performing our duty on this earth. As we live for Christ and to serve our neighbor, not for reward, not for praise, not for gain, but because it is expected of us. In closing, a short story about Leonardo da Vinci I came across, that in his boyhood, when he saw caged birds out for sale in the streets of Florence, he would buy them and set them free. It was a rare trait in a boy and spoke of a noble heart full of genuine sympathy for the birds. As we go about the streets, we find caged birds which we may set free. Imprisoned joys that we may liberate by the power that is in us, the power of Christ as we share with others, the power of the living God. Naturalists say that the stork, having most tenderly fed its young, will sail under them when they first attempt to fly, and if they begin to fail, will bear them up and support them, and that when one stork is wounded by the sportsman, the able ones gather about it, put their wings under it, and try to carry it away. These instincts in the birds teach us lessons of helpfulness. We should come up close to those who are in any way overburdened or weak or faint, and putting our own strength underneath them help them along. And when another fellow being is wounded or crushed, whether by sorrow or by sin, it is our duty to gather about them and try to lift them up and save them. There is scarcely a limit to our possibilities of helpfulness in these ways. And it always brings me back to that poem, "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day." Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you can live each day, that we can live each day confident and trusting in our salvation. Not because of what we have done or because our good works, but because of the life, death, and resurrection of your Son. Father, I would pray that if there is anyone here or in the sound of my voice who hears these words and they do not yet trust in your promise, I pray that your Holy Spirit would touch their heart. And by your grace, the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And that we might all continue to look and search for the ways in which we serve as your servants, loving you and loving our neighbor. Speak to each of us this morning so that we may do our duty to you and to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.